Judah's Last God-Fearing King, Chapter 110. At this time Josiah reigned over Judah and Benjamin. He was but a child, 8 years of age. He wore the kingly crown, but actually he could not reign because he was too young. For that reason, we do not read anything about him during the first 8 years of his reign. But when he is a youth of 16 years of age, we do read something about him. Listen, in the 8th year of his reign, while he was yet young, he began to seek after the God of David his father. Ah, of whom among you can that be said? 4 years later, when he was 20 years of age, he began to purge Jerusalem of the idols. The streets and open places of the capital again were full of images. His father Amon had placed them there. Upon the command of Josiah, these images were broken to pieces, and he spread the rubbish upon the graves of the heathen priests who had offered to these idols. And the altars were demolished, the groves were chopped down, and the high places where the people offered were destroyed. Oh, Josiah neither could nor would worship these stone images. They were no gods. No, he will worship the Lord. He loved the Lord. Therefore, he could not rest until these terrible idolatrous images were completely wiped out. Nothing of them was permitted to remain in Jerusalem. When this was finished, he repaired the house of the Lord. The temple was cleaned and repaired where it was necessary. Whatever was broken was renewed. It certainly looked neglected. For years the temple was used as an idolatrous temple. The building was full of rubbish, which reminded them of the idol worship. Josiah would no longer permit or tolerate idol worship. The king gave the high priest Hilkiah orders to purify the temple thoroughly. No money or pains were to be spared. The people who feared God were glad. There still were some children of God, but not many. Just look, there is much activity in the temple. Priests and Levites are working industriously. The images which had been placed in the temple by Amon are taken out and thrown upon a heap outside Jerusalem. The high priest Hilkiah regulates the work and assigns everyone his duty. Suddenly, in a corner of the temple, they find a very old book buried deeply under the dust. Oh, what kind of a book can that be? Inquisitively, they remove the dirt and examine it more carefully, paging through its pages. It became evident this old dirty book is the book of the law. In this book, Moses had written the laws of the Lord when Israel was still in the wilderness on its way to Canaan and the land of promise. That book is very old, isn't it? However, because it had not been used for years, it was covered thickly with dirt and dust. The high priest sends a message to the king, telling him they have found the book of the law of the Lord. Immediately, Josiah sends for it and has one of his servants read it to him. The king listens intently. He hears from it how God warns the children of Israel against sinning. He hears how the Lord threatens them with his judgments if they forsake him. He hears that God would then visit them, not with his blessing, but with his curses. A violent fear seizes the king. He stands up and rends his clothes. He trembles when he thinks of all the terrible sins which have been committed openly in Jerusalem. Go and inquire of the Lord for me and for my people, he commands a few of his servants. At this time, a God-fearing woman lived in Jerusalem. She was the prophetess Huldah. The messengers of the king hastened to this woman. And what answer does Huldah give? Return to the king, she says. Tell him that all the judgments which are recorded in the book of the law surely will come. The city shall be destroyed, and all the calamities and curses which are written in the book of the law will come upon the inhabitants of this city. But, the prophetess Huldah continues, say to the king that all this misery will not come during his reign. Later, when he is dead, this city will be destroyed, but Josiah will die in peace. The messengers return to the king with his message. Word for word, they tell him what the prophetess Huldah had said. A little later, a large meeting is being held in Jerusalem. The king has called all the prominent men, the rulers and princes, to the capital. They are gathered together in the court of the house of the Lord. Behold, Josiah is standing there. It is quiet, exceedingly quiet. They all listen attentively to one man who is reading from a thick book. This book is the book of the law, which they have found. It is the king's wishes to have all the people know its contents. For this reason, he had called them to Jerusalem. Now all can hear how grievously they have sinned. Probably they will repent and return to the Lord their God. Afterward, the king makes a covenant with the people to worship the Lord only. Josiah begins to work with new courage. The images are gone from Jerusalem, but they still stand in many places throughout the land of Judah and Benjamin. The king personally travels through his kingdom and destroys the idol worship everywhere. Yes, he even breaks down the images and altars which are in the former kingdom of the 10 tribes. He also comes to Bethel. The golden calf, which had been made a long time ago by Jeroboam, stands there all this while. Josiah orders this calf to be broken to pieces. The priests, who had been appointed by Jeroboam, and were buried around this high place. Josiah opens these graves. The bones are taken out and burned upon the altar in this high place. Another grave is located a short distance away. The king asks, "Who lies buried there?" The inhabitants remaining in Bethel tell Josiah. They say, "It is the grave of the prophet from Judah, who prophesied you would burn the bones of the priests upon that altar." There lies the old prophet of Bethel, too, who caused the young prophet from Judah to return. "So," answers the king meditatively, "must we open that grave also?" his servants ask him. "No," Josiah decides, "let them lie. No one may disturb their bones." Do you see, children, everything the Lord had caused the prophet of Judah to prophesy centuries ago was fulfilled exactly as he had said. So Josiah goes through the land, cleaning away everything that brings to mind the worship of idols. Josiah will not tolerate anything to remain. He finally returns to Jerusalem after accomplishing this great task. Sometime later, thousands of people again gather together in Jerusalem. Why this time? What is to be done now? Let us go to see. We soon notice they are celebrating a feast in the city. It is not a sinful, wicked feast. No, it is a feast of the Lord. The king had called his people to celebrate the Passover, an event which has not taken place for many, many years. It becomes a great Passover feast. Not one of the kings of Judah had celebrated such a Passover since the days of Samuel. Many thousands of cattle are slain. The people eat and drink and are glad. And still, most of them do not serve the Lord uprightly. They do it outwardly and because the king will have it so, but in their hearts they are not sincere, and they would rather worship the idols. Oh, how sad! But Josiah, the king, is sincere. He and a few God-fearing Israelites serve the Lord uprightly and with their whole hearts. A large army is marching over the roads in the land of Canaan. These thousands of soldiers are heavily armed. Bows and shields hang about their shoulders. The arrows glisten in the sunlight. Who are they? This mighty army is an Egyptian army. Has war been declared? Do the Egyptians want to conquer Jerusalem? No, and the king of Egypt, Pharaoh Necho, is not going to fight against Josiah this time. He is on his way to Assyria. He is only marching through the land of Canaan. But Josiah musters his army and goes to meet the Egyptians. He wants to stop the Egyptian army. Why? He knows the prophets of the Lord had prophesied for many years that one day his nation would be led captive into Babylon. Assyria lies between his realm and the kingdom of Babylon. Probably Assyria could stop Babylon. If now the Egyptian army should attack the country of Assyria, the Assyrians must fight against two enemies, against Egypt and Babylon. If this should happen, Assyria will be defeated and Babylon will be victorious, thus becoming strong and powerful. Babylon must not become strong. For this reason, Josiah will fight against the king of Egypt. He will help Assyria. Necho, the king of Egypt, warns Josiah. He sends a messenger to the Jewish army with the message, King Josiah, you must return to Jerusalem. I do not want to fight against you, but I am only marching to battle against Assyria. Let me go further in peace. Why should I be compelled to harm you? But Josiah would not listen. Yes, the Egyptian army had to fight against Josiah and his soldiers. The Egyptian soldiers take their bows and shoot. One of the arrows strikes the king of Judah. He is seriously wounded. Take me away, for I am badly wounded, whispers the king. His officers carefully carry him to another chariot and return to Jerusalem. But Josiah does not reach the capital alive. He dies on the way. The Lord takes him away before the enemies destroy Jerusalem. He was killed, but he dies in peace, because his nation lived in quietness and peace until his death. Soon the sad news rings out throughout the entire land. The king is dead. The king is dead. Oh, how grieved his subjects are. Thousands hasten to Jerusalem to bury him with honor. See the long funeral procession walking through the streets. Many of the Jewish people weep. His servants bury him in the royal burial place. They all feel this great loss. He was esteemed by all his subjects. They all loved their God-fearing king. They all had respect for him. He reigned 31 years over Judah and Benjamin. He was the last God-fearing king who sat upon the throne of Judah. After Josiah's death, Judah quickly rushed to its downfall. But we will tell you about that in the following chapter. Oh, boys and girls, Josiah was blessed. God took him to himself into eternal glory. He did not see the day of evil. We also live in anxious and dark days. Our nation too will be severely punished by the Lord, because our nation also refuses to hear the word of the Lord. But will the Lord also care for us then? He will do so if we are, as Josiah, converted by the Lord. He will do so if, as Josiah, we have received a new heart from God. Bend your knees before him and ask, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me."